There's a lighthouse on a hillside that overlooks the sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light, light that I might clearly see. And the light that shines in darkness now will safely lead us on. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me where would this ship be? And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. For Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sea, that I might clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me where would this ship be? Everybody that lives around me says tear the lighthouse down. For the big ships, they don't sail this way. There's no need of standing around. But then my mind goes back to the stormy night when just in time I saw a light. It was the light from that old lighthouse that stands up there on a hill. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. For Jesus is the lighthouse. And
have your Bibles, look with us in Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. And we've been studying through the book of Luke on Wednesday nights, and that's been a blessing. Looking at each one of the Gospels, there's a different perspective, so to speak. And they come together, they harmonize. There's a harmony of the Gospels, if you will. And the book of Mark is one that's often been called the rapid fire gospel. He had a little shorter message. A lot of people like Preacher Mark. He was a short-winded preacher, I guess. He's shorter, about 16 chapters. But the word straightforward's found a lot in the book of Mark. But I want to look at this. This is found in Mark and in Matthew, and in Luke as well, in a little different perspective in the gospels. But Mark chapter 8, beginning verse 34, if you can. Stand as we read the scripture, Mark chapter 8, beginning verse 34. The Bible says, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall it a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh into the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Powerful passage of Scripture, and we find it in the other Gospels in some form or another. And he talks to them about discipleship. He talks to them about drawing close to the Lord. And he talks to them about following after Christ, being a disciple. And the Scripture tells us here in verse 36 and 37. Now, I want to use this passage in maybe more of the context that it's found in, or what the first application is. You know, it's like over there in, for example, Revelation 3:20. A lot of times we use that verse and we talk about salvation. He stands at the door and knocks. If any man will open up, I'll come in, I'll sup with him, he with me. And that's a wonderful passage of Scripture, and it can be applied that way, but that's not the first application. You read the context of the Scripture, he's talking to the church. And so it's talking about the Lord being on the outside of the church trying to get in. Amen. Now, same way here, this whole passage is talking about discipleship. This whole passage is talking about following after Christ and not denying Him and serving Him and living for Him. Now, I know we've applied this, verse 36 and 37, so we want to get our text. We've applied this a lot of times to salvation. And sure, it's right if you go the way of the world and you don't trust Christ, then you're damning your soul to hell. You've turned away the gospel. You've turned away the offer of salvation. And there's nothing, you know, the Bible says in Hebrews 2:3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We're turning away, and that's true. But that's not the first application. Look here what the Scripture says. It says, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Might I say that this may be talking about more than just salvation. I believe it's talking about service, and it can be applied to salvation as well, because if you don't get saved, you lose your soul is going to spend an eternity in hell. But a lot of times the word soul has come to mean, and I do believe it means us putting our heart into it. Amen? Us putting our desire to the Lord. Amen? Our passion, if you will. Maybe passion's a good word to use there. We're really putting our all into it for Jesus Christ. I'll never forget a story that Jack Hiles told one time. Jack Hiles said there was a group that was meeting across the road from their church, and it was just a liquor joint, really. And they were bringing in the old terminology back then, the girls of ill repute, and it was just a bad place. And you know, he got up in his pulpit and boldly stood and said, hey, we're going to take a stand against that joint, that liquor joint across the road and everything. And we're just, you know, we're going to stand against them, and we're going to stand for Jesus Christ. And as it did many times in his ministry, another battle started, praise God. One day, the guy that was ahead over that joint and a few other guys with him wanted to come to his office and have a meeting with him. And, of course, he let them come in. And this one that's the big ringleader and everything, he comes in. The other guys come in. And just in a few seconds after there was some introductions, Jack Hiles said, listen, I'll tell you what. Our church has been here for how many ever years? I've been the pastor here since the early 60s. And we are not leaving. You'll end up leaving, and you'll close down, and you'll be gone before we ever make a move. We're going to preach the gospel and take a stand for Christ. And he paused for a moment. And one of the guys jumped up and he said, man, and he's just bumbling around trying to say something, or else
You know, maybe he had a stuttering problem, I don't know, but Jack Hiles said he just kept bumbling and fumbling around a little bit. And before long, he said, I want to tell you what, you've got soul. He said, man, you've got soul. That's what he told him. And the story goes on that, man, they finally did close up. That one that jumped up and said, you got soul, got saved by the grace of God. Two or three more got saved from that joint, and they shut down business. But I want to talk to you a little bit about us having soul. Amen? Hey, us having soul. Us having passion. Amen? Us having the desire. Us putting our all in it for Jesus Christ. Having our heart in it, praise the Lord, for Him. Now, I know this is applied, like I said, a lot of times with salvation, but that's not the context. The context is about us following Christ. The context is about us denying ourselves and following after the Lord and living for Christ. In fact, he closes by saying, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous generation, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed. Man, what a blessing for somebody that'll tell it like it is, for somebody that'll take a stand, for somebody. I mean, I respect folks, even if I don't agree with everything that they're promoting. I'm going to stand alongside somebody that's going to take a stand for some good things and some good principles in their life, and somebody's got a little soul about them. Amen? Somebody's got a little passion about them, if you will. Amen? Somebody's got a desire to give it all for Jesus Christ. Amen? We need that in this day. We need that. Hey, the Lord says over, if you look on over in chapter 10, there was a rich young ruler that came to Christ. Like I say, Mark is a the rapid fire gospel, and he doesn't even mention that it's a rich young ruler, but there in Mark chapter 10, scripture tells us there in Mark 10 and verse 21, the Bible says, then Jesus beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. Man, the Bible says, then he went away sad and was grieved because he had many possessions. Now, I've said this before, I think that rich young ruler, I think the Lord was just wanting to know where his soul was. Amen? I think the Lord was just wanting to know where his heart was. I believe God just wanted to know where his desire was. I believe he just wanted to find out where his passion was in saying that. He may have not even required him to give everything away. But he said, I want to tell you, hey, you're talking about some different things, but really, where's your soul at? Really, where's your passion at? I want you to give everything away. Man, if he had trusted God and believed God, he had known that if he gave everything away, God would give him back much more, maybe even doubled what he had before, like he did with God's servant Job. So over and over again, he could have had that determination to say, yes, I have soul. Yes, I have passion for Christ. But he didn't. He went away sorrowful. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 24, the Lord was asked a question about the commandments. He was asked, what's the first and the greatest commandment? The Bible says, Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy, what's the next word? Soul. With all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Then he said, this is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. I think my message is right on point there. The Lord said, hey, you need to give all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. How are we doing concerning our soul for Jesus Christ? The title of the message is, have you got soul? Okay? Amen. Now, we ain't going back to the 60s, 70s, all that stuff. Amen. But have you got soul? Amen. Have you got soul? Praise the Lord. Let me say, there's some that were in the scriptures that they were definitely passionate about the things of God. We got a lot of examples in God's Word. Let me say, Isaiah was passionate about something for the Lord. The Bible says in Isaiah 6:8, he said, Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And he said, here am I. Send me. Amen. I've got soul. Amen. I'm going to serve Christ. I've got passion to live for him. The Bible says in Isaiah 50, about Isaiah said this in verse 7, for the Lord God will help me. Amen. You've got desire, passion, soul. He'll help you live for him. He'll help you serve him. He said, the Lord will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I am not ashamed. And the Lord used that same passage about himself. It's used about those that will serve Christ, that they'll take a determination to say, I'm going to plant my feet on solid ground and live for God and have the passion that I need to have. Have you got soul? I think another one we could say did was Paul. Amen. Paul took a stand for Christ. Paul had soul. Paul had passion. Paul had a stir for the Lord. The Bible tells us, he said in Philippians 3:13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which were before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I've got heart. I've got soul. I want to live for the Lord and love him with all my heart, my soul, and my mind. I want to go forward for Christ. I want to press toward the mark. I want to go and preach the word and be instant in season, out of season. I want to stand for Christ. Paul says, hey, man. Hey, man, I've got soul. Yeah. Isaiah said, man, I've got soul. I believe we know that Christ did. Yeah. He had passion. I believe there's one thing that would probably amaze us more than anything is listening to the preaching of Jesus Christ. Amen. I mean, we're reading the Word of God. They were astounded. They were confounded. They didn't know what to think. They walked away amazed. They said, never a man spake like this man. I believe it wasn't just a soft little address that he gave everywhere. Amen. I'll tell you what. We were standing up there at the Burlington meeting. They said there were 6,000 people there. Across the interstate is a Target. And folks have been hearing the preaching all the way over there in a Target parking lot on the other side of I-40. And that's amazing. But I'll tell you what, if Christ was standing preaching to 15,000 people without a PA system, he had to lift his voice a little bit. Amen. I read in one place the crowd got so big and he gets up in the ship. He gets him a platform up in the ship where that he can preach to those that are staying there by the seashore. I believe he lifted up his voice. I believe the scripture tells us to lift up our voice like a trumpet and show thy people their transgression. The Bible says of Christ in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your mind. Let's consider the Lord that he had soul. Let's consider Paul and Isaiah. Well, let me tell you some things you ought to be passionate about. Now, sometimes people will have some passion. People will have some desire about something. And they'll be more concerned with a lot of things that no doubt have anything to do with eternity. They have anything to do with our fellowship with the Lord. But let me say, first of all, we ought to be passionate about the Word of God. We ought to be passionate about the Word of God. Amen. We need an amen right there. It's time for an amen right there. Passionate about God's Word. Hey, what? The question is, if we're not passionate about the Word of God, what are you listening to? You got to be listening to somebody. Somebody's influencing you. Somebody's leading you. Something's guiding you. What are you listening to? Let's listen to the Word of God. Let's see what God says in His Word. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 says, only be strong. Now, Moses had led God's people. Moses had led them for 40 years and not getting to the destination they were called to. Moses had took them out of Egypt, and now the mantle is passed on to Joshua. Man, how many could have fallen and failed to take up that responsibility, and I believe he would have messed up if he hadn't followed God's Word. I believe he'd have messed up if he didn't have soul. I believe he'd have messed up if he didn't have passion. But Joshua says later on in, as we close in Joshua 22, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He said, I'm going to stand for Christ. Amen. Thank God, I tell you what, that's what's tearing up our country. Appreciate that song, My Christian Home. I believe the Lutheran Brothers did that back in the 60s, trying to draw folks back to Christ and live for God and live for the Lord, take a stand for the Lord. Hey, the devil's tearing up the fabric of our family. We don't even know what a family is in America anymore. That's sad. We're the laughing stock of the world in some places because of the road that we've took. But you know what our road is taking? We're listening to somebody else. We're listening to something else. What are you listening to? I want to say we need to be passionate about listening to the Word of God. Joshua says, I'm getting back there, hang on. Joshua 1:7 says, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not to it to the right hand or the left hand. Just do what? Keep it straight. Stay on that straight path. The street that's called straight, it's the street we need to be on, God's people. He said, that thou mayest prosper in whatsoever thou goest. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate in it day and night. And thou shalt observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I want to tell you, if we'll stay in the Word of God and be passionate about what God's telling us in His Word, amen, we will have good success. We will be going in the right direction. We will grow in the Lord, and we will get our soul back where it needs to be and our passion and desire where it needs to be for Jesus Christ. Hey, Philippians 2:13 says, holding forth the Word of life, amen, holding forth the Word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not labored in vain or run in vain, or run in vain and not labored in vain as well. Hey, we need to hold forth the Word of God. God's Word is what's going to change folks' life. It's not what different philosophies are and what Dr. Bottlestopper thinks and what this one thinks and that and thinks. It's what God says, and His Word is what's going to matter. It's what God says and tells us. What are we listening to? We need to be passionate about the Word of God. Amen. Second of all, we need to be passionate about a nearness to God. Amen. Draw me near to the cross. Amen. Draw me near. Oh, Fanny J. Crosby wrote that song, Jesus, keep me near the cross. I want to draw close to Him. I want to be in the center of His will. Our nearness to God will bring our passion and our soul back and get us where we need to be for Jesus Christ. If we're not near to God, then who? I've got a what, who, and a where question, okay? On each one of these, let me say, first of all, if we're not listening to the Word of God, what are you listening to? If you're not near to God, then who are you near to? Amen? Who are you close to? Who's influencing you? If God's not influencing you, there's somebody else influencing you. Sad to talk to some folks that have no direction in their life. And I was talking to somebody this past week and just amazed how that he was so much rejecting Jesus Christ and so much rejecting the miracles of the Bible, there wasn't anything that he believed. And I said, there's no way you can go any further unless you start listening to the right person, unless you start reading the right stuff and believing God exactly for what He says in His Word. And I gave him passage after passage to show him this book's already ahead. I said, Leviticus 17:11 was written close to 4,000 years ago, and ain't it something that in that book, it says the life of the flesh is in the blood. And it took us, 4,000 years almost to figure that out. Yeah. Hey, our first president died because we didn't believe the Bible. Our first president, he died because they began to take his blood out. They thought years ago, they used to think you'd take blood out of you and you would get the infection out of you. And the problem with that is many people died not because of the infection, but they died because of loss of blood. Amen. Hey, barbershops. They used to do some of the bleeding process even at barbershops because there wasn't enough doctors in our country. And they'd go to the barbershop and bleed you when you had an infection in order to try to help you, but not knowing that they were killing people. And that's how George Washington died. They bled him too much, and he died. The barbershops, and that's the reason the barbershop, man, this is a little gory in it. The barbershops, the reason you got that red and white pole, that's because of the bleeding process they would help in. But it wasn't helping because God said in His Word, you lose blood to any part of your flesh and that part has to be amputated, you'll lose that part of your body. You'll lose your body if you don't have blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Amen.
Amen.
In the book of Isaiah, it says, the Lord setteth upon the circle of the earth. Is a circle round or flat? Amen. Kids learn that in kindergarten, don't you? Before that. Amen. Hopefully before that. Amen. Round, that's a circle. For many years, thousands of years after that was written down in God's Word, people thought the earth was flat.
Yeah, go ahead.
But God said in His Word it was round. In fact, Christopher Columbus stood before the Queen of Spain and said, the Bible says in Isaiah that the earth is round. I don't think I'll have any problem circling around and coming back to India. They won't teach you that in the history, but in the schoolhouse, will they?
No.
But that's what happened. He believed the authority of God's Word. I don't know if he is truly a Christian. He is raised Catholic. But anyhow, he did point to the Word of God. And you can just go on and on. I mean, there's verse after verse that this book is not behind. This book is ahead. We need to listen to what thus saith the Word of God. Who are we listening to? What are we listening to? Who are we close to? We're not going to be passionate as long as we're always close to the world and the things of the world. But we can get our passion back with a nearness to God. The Bible says in James 4:17, submit thyself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. The next verse says, draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Boy, what a good day it is. God's people will say, man, I want to get back to the Lord. I want to get back. I want to get my soul back. I want to get my passion back. Have you got soul about the things of God? About the Word of God? About a nearness to God? And last of all, let me say about a direction for God. Amen. God's not going to give us our Word. God's not going to give us that nearness without giving us some direction. He hadn't left us hopeless. He hadn't left us helpless. We've got the direction that we need to follow. Like I said a while ago, just stay on that straight street. Amen.
Amen.
It'll lead you in the right direction. Let me say, I told you I had a what, who, and a where question. Here's my where question. If you're not listening to God's direction, where are you going? Where are you headed? Say, first of all, if you're not listening to the gospel message of salvation, you're headed to hell. Right?
Sure.
And after we're saved, praise God, we'll end up in the side ditches of life if we don't listen to God and let God direct our path and let God direct our step in these days. Our direction. Get our soul back and we'll be headed in the right direction. Get our soul back and we'll be going somewhere for Jesus Christ. I've seen a couple different quotes even this morning. Man, what a blessing to see God just giving us what we need in His Word. And I seen a quote that was from Lee Robinson. He said, a church is not a church when the passion for souls is gone. Lee Robinson said that many years ago. A church is not a church when the passion for souls is gone. Oh, there's many that are dying and going to hell. There are many that are listening to the wrong people. There's many that are listening to the wrong things, and they're drawing close to the wrong things. They need a church that'll stand up for Christ. They need a church that'll love them. They'll need a church that's got their whole heart, their whole mind, their whole soul into loving Jesus Christ and loving souls and pointing men, women, boys, and girls to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Where are we going? Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Bible says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost.
Amen.
Amen. That's the reason he died. He died for lost souls to come to Christ, for lost souls to come to know the Lord and being a part of the church and be a part of the bride that he's making up. Hallelujah. We need to get our passion back. Need to get our soul back. We'll have the direction that we need to go. We won't be wandering around in the wilderness. Amen. That's a picture of a Baptist church right there, 40 years in the wilderness, going in circles as all the children of Israel were doing. But thank God they finally did make it to the promised land. They passed it on to the next generation. The next generation got to stand in the promised land and got to walk where God wanted them to walk and where God wanted them to be. Get our soul back. Bible tells us in John 17, verse 3, he said, "This is it, life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." It can be lost, folks, in one generation. It can be lost in one generation to not see the power of God, to not see the touch of God, to not see God moving on His Word, seeing God bless and God take care of us, and we don't pass it on to the next generation. What have we gained? Right? Get back to my text. The Bible says, "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" There's nothing in the world we need to be listening to more than God. There's nobody else we need to be drawing close to no more than God. There's nobody else that we need to follow that direction from. We'll find out where to go. We'll find out who to be close to. We'll find out what to listen to if we get our soul back. Bible tells us all that's in this world: lust of the flesh, the pride of life, lust of the eyes. All that's going to pass away. All that's a fading away. But boy, if you love Jesus Christ, if you love the Lord, we got so much more ahead to thank Him for, to praise Him for. God's been so good to us. Thank God for a Christian home. Thank God for a good Bible-believing church. Thank God for folks that love the Lord. Amen. I'm glad I'm headed in the right direction. I'm glad I'm listening to the right influence in my life. And I say every day, "Lord, draw me near. Draw me nearer. Draw me closer to You." Amen.